Welcome to A Meaningful Marketplace.
I'm Sarah Massoni from Oregon State University's Food Innovation Center, where I've helped countless dreamers launch their new food products. It's the science of taking a food delight from the kitchen to mass manufacturing and still keeping its great taste. That's what I do. I've been called the woman with the million-dollar palate, although I haven't tried to cash that check yet. Listen in weekly for real-life stories.
I'm Sarah Marshall, owner of Marshall's Hot Sauce and author of Preservation Pantry, Modern Canning from Root to Top and Stem to Core. I love inspiring business owners to get started on their journeys, encouraging folks to be part of their local community, and I'm excited to help business owners tell their stories. Join us as we explore the journeys of women entrepreneurs in the food and beverage industry.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to Massoni & Marshall, A Meaningful Marketplace. I'm glad everyone joined me today for our podcast, as we think it's super important for us to be here with stories of hope for our listeners. So thanks for joining as we hear true stories of our food entrepreneurs from around the region. This is Sarah Massoni of Oregon State University's Food Innovation Center in Portland, Oregon. Sarah Marshall's off in New York City eating the city's hottest curry with her brother. I can't wait to get a report next week. We want to thank our sponsors for supporting this podcast, Massoni & Marshall, and thank you for helping spreading the word about Northwest and Rocky Mountain regional food entrepreneurs. So let's hear a word from our sponsor.
The Northwest and Rocky Mountain Regional Food Business Center is the proud sponsor of the Meaningful Marketplace podcast, giving a voice to food from across the six-state region of Colorado, Idaho, Montana, Oregon, Washington, and Wyoming. The Food Business Center supports Northwest and Rocky Mountain food industry makers as part of the USDA's National Network of Food Business Centers, supporting a more resilient, diverse, and competitive food system as a go-to source for small and mid-tier food and farm businesses with a focus on underserved communities, providing education in the form of technical knowledge, business programs, and industry news. We sponsor trade shows, meetups, and conferences to connect growers, producers, retailers, distributors, and processors, all to stimulate business and raise the standards of our storied food industry. Join us as we travel through the six-state region learning more about food makers, food hubs, and food systems. Visit the website at Northwest Rocky Mountain Regional Food Businesses.com to get connected.
Thanks, Regional Food Business Centers. I have some food news today for us. If you're a food entrepreneur, be sure to look up your regional food business center. There are 12 across the U.S. with a mission to connect underserved food folks with their technical assistance and funding to help make their food businesses more robust and take them to the next level. I also suggest you connect with your State Department of Agriculture to learn about funding they may have to help you move your food idea forward. On June 10th at the Food Innovation Center, we're hosting a summer bazaar featuring startup food entrepreneurs that have either attended Portland Community College Getting Your Recipe to Market or have worked with us here at the Food Innovation Center while creating their new food product. If you're a confirmed foodie and want to come by the FIC for bites and buys, we look forward to having you try all of the new products our genius food entrepreneurs have come up with. The event is from 4 to 7 p.m. If any of our food friends out there have an announcement, please contact us via direct message on Instagram at Massoni and Marshall. We will help spread the news about all of your food news too. Well, guess what? I'm not alone in the studio today. I have a very special guest with me. It's Ileana Mora from Divinely Dairy-Free Buttery Spread. I am so glad you joined me today, Ileana. I want to help connect our listeners to your company via social media and your website. Can you tell me what your links are for Instagram, Facebook, and the website?
Hi, Sarah. Hi. I just want to tell you how thrilled I am to be on the show with you. And without the incredible help of the OSU Food Innovation Center, I really couldn't have gotten my product to where I needed it to be. So thank you so much. And I'm thrilled to spend this time with you today. My links on Facebook are at Ileana Mora and on Instagram at Ileana Mora Official.
That's cool. It's easy to remember because that's your name.
Yes.
Now, I noticed that you have a couple of items. You do have a website, Ileana Mora, and you do have your buttery, divinely dairy-free buttery spread. That's what I call it, because it's not real butter. It's a special butter that you've created to replace dairy butter. And you also have some bars that you've been working on. But I know a little bit more about you because you did work at the Food Innovation Center with one of our food scientists. And I want to talk a little bit about how that journey was for you. So how did you hear about the Food Innovation Center?
That is a great question. I had joined the Pacific Northwest Food and Beverage Group, and we're like a family. Mm-hmm. And that is how I found out about the Food Innovation Center, through Hannah, who runs that group. And I reached out because I had hit a wall. I needed to improve my shelf life on my product for the markets. And so I gave you a call. I spoke with Mike, mm-hmm. and really just loved all of you so much. And was thrilled to get accepted into getting some help with you guys.
That's exciting. And so can you tell us, how did you find the Northwest Food and Beverage? That's a Google group, right?
Yes. Well, I did the farmer's market.
Okay.
Last year, or actually it was the year before, to test my butter. And this
okay.
before I got to OSU, I had spent a couple years developing the recipe, and I was ready to test the market. So I did a season, and I had such overwhelming response that we decided to take the next step and do the R&D that was needed. So by that time, I had connected with all the local food innovators, and everybody's just there to help each other, really. And somebody yeah. mentioned Hannah's group. So I have.
Yeah. So would you say it's really good to network with the other people at the farmers
market? Oh, absolutely. I mean, everybody's so supportive. No one's competing against each other. We're really there just to help each other and be there.
Yeah, everyone's working to create a new food economy. It doesn't matter if you're in Portland, Oregon, or Cook, Minnesota. Everybody's trying to do the same thing, bring
exactly.
foods local. So
exactly.
you worked at the farmer's market. Can you tell us, so we have people out there listening going, oh, I really want to put my product in the farmer's market. What did you have to do to get into the farmer's market here in Portland?
Okay, well, I just went on the website, and I found an application for it. Probably the first thing I did was email the director of our local farmers market.
So the farmers market has somebody that manages the market?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes. And her name is actually Hannah as well.
Two Hannahs.
Two Hannahs. So I reached out to her. They're just fabulous. Got right
did
on
you have
it.
To submit samples or anything like that?
I did, because I wanted to. And so I just met with her and gave her samples, filled out the application. It was nice to have a meeting with her just to see what exactly I needed.
And what did you need? Did you have to bring your own table and a tent and all that stuff?
Yes.
Okay, so tell us about that. Was that hard to figure out?
Well, I would just attend the farmers markets.
Okay.
And a friend of mine is one of the vendors, and then you just ask, yeah, what do you need? And everybody just wants to help you. And so there is a bit of an investment. You have to have your tent. And
okay.
if it's windy where we live, it's extremely windy. You want to make sure you have a sturdy tent.
So you have to have those weights on every corner or something like that.
Yes. You want about 30 pounds of weights, at least on the two back corners, which is
okay.
what we did. We tied, just filled up cement in buckets, 30 pounds each, with a way to tie rope that is strung out on either side, sort of like a sail. And then
kind of tied it down so it wouldn't blow away.
Yeah. And then we had additionally, we had about 20 pound weights on each leg.
Okay. So that's like 100 pounds of stuff you're carrying around. Did you have to have a special cart or a really strong person help you set up your tent?
Yes, I had a special cart and his name was my husband.
Oh, those husbands are so helpful, aren't they?
Oh, it was really funny because we just have a Mini Cooper.
Oh, that's small.
So, yes. So we actually...
Did you have to drive with the back end open and the tent was like sticking out the window or something?
Pretty much. Oh, and we had to take two trips because I had five tables. And
five tables?
A display. And then, of course, Everything was on ice. Mm-hmm. So I had two big coolers and a little mini refrigerator.
How did you plug that in? Do you have electrical? Great.
You just apply. When you apply, there's a box and you just ask for electrical and they'll supply it for you, which is
That's
great.
That's great. I didn't know that.
Yeah.
So then you had your tables there, your coolers with ice and all your product in it. What did you actually display? Did you set up a beautiful table with a tablecloth or what did you do to make your stuff look cool?
I did. I bought stretchy tablecloths so
it
could fit nicely on the table.
Nice.
Beautiful banners made. Ooh. And I had one across the top of the canopy and then one inside in the back. Mm-hmm. I had sides, which were really important for the canopy because it can get really cold and it can get really hot.
Oh, I see.
You need to protect yourself from the elements.
Mm-hmm.
My husband made a beautiful wooden display that was tiered for me.
Nice.
And I had a vase of fake flowers. I had really cute miniature easel signs with blackboards with neon.
So you could write things on there and say, try this.
Yes. And the pricing. And
nice.
We also like to advertise any local vendors that we're purchasing from. Hazelnuts and blueberries.
Oh, so you're selling your bars too.
Yes.
Not just your butter. Okay.
Yes.
What sells more, the bars or the butter? Did you choose butter because the butter sold more?
That's a great question. Actually, they both sold really, really well.
Oh.
But the butter just is such an important ingredient. It's an essential ingredient in all baking and cooking. And plus there's just, my bars are also plant-based and they're gluten-free and grain-free. But the bar recipe I was pretty happy with. And the butter recipe was just something that the challenge of it and all of the ramifications for the environment and for animals. I'm a big animal lover.
Yeah.
Were pretty, pretty important. So I felt it was my most important product.
That's a good way to decide because if you're going to sell it, you got to really believe in it, don't you?
Yes. And I
always tell people that.
Yeah.
Hey, so the idea of going to the farmer's market is to actually sell stuff. So were you taking cash or only credit? Because I see a lot of people with those little things they attach to their phone and they just slide credit cards through. Did you do that and cash or did you just do cash or how did that work?
I did both.
You did both.
So I had a little fanny pack.
Fanny pack, good.
About $100 to $200 in there each time. And then I also had a Square device. Mm-hmm. So it itemized everything on my phone and
nice.
It was super easy. It got pretty busy.
Yeah.
And
were you by yourself or did your husband also help you?
I was by myself.
That's amazing.
I had a very busy booth.
Sounds like you did. So did you sell out? Like what was your best day at the market? Do you remember?
I literally sold out every week. Every single week.
Did people line up at your booth?
Yes, they were lined up.
They lined up at your booth?
They did.
Holy
I am
smokes.
Kidding you not.
You're like it was famous.
It was just very, very encouraging, and it was exciting. So I did eventually hire someone, a local 16-year-old, who helped me with the money.
That's nice.
It it just took time to get the money and exchange it and then
get all that took away from you being able to talk to the next customer. You don't want to be like all tied up when you have four or five other people wanting to buy. So that's plus a good idea to have a cash person.
Yes. And plus my ingredients had to be on ice. So I had to dig into my ice chest to get their orders. Mm-hmm. And so what I did was I made fake bars displayed the butter. I had everything out, but under plexiglass. So people would accidentally pick up a bar with wood in it. And that helped as well.
That's a good idea, actually. Okay. So now that we've figured all that out, I would ask, are you going to be at farmer markets this year?
I am. So this is kind of my new launch is in May.
Okay.
The new butter, the new and improved butter. And I'm super excited. So now my butter has a 5-month shelf life. Thanks,
what?
Guys.
Yay.
Thank you. I want to see your food innovation center.
Oh, beeves.
Thank you. Yeah, Mike did such a great job on that. And you all were so fabulous.
So you have your shelf life, you have your packaging. I saw you have a beautiful logo that you've had designed.
Thank you.
I saw it on Facebook, I think.
Yeah, I actually designed that myself.
Oh, I didn't know you were an artist.
I'm not. I've spent a year on that. It was a huge transition. I used to have a label that I also had designed called Better, a Butter Alternative, but I rebranded. And I did that mainly because I had outgrown that name. I
like it because it's really feminine, actually. I think
Eliana Mara. Yes.
Yeah, your package is really feminine. I would have to say the dairy industry, the packaging is really masculine and kind of boring.
Yeah.
So I think yours is going to really stand out.
Thank you.
I think the only other feminine sort of packaging is that Califia almond drink. They do kind of have a female type person on their package, and the bottle's kind of curvy, but I think yours might be better.
Well, thank you.
What I thought.
Well, Iliana means sun and light. Mm-hmm. And the Greek word is Helios, which means sun. And Helen of Troy was named after that. And so there's that badass female energy in there, which I love. And then Mother Mara means Mother Earth. So I thought the two together were very beautiful. And then
that is beautiful.
And then
did you name yourself then?
I named that was a nickname, and I named it. I took it as my brand name. Iliana, the nickname. I took it and I said, I'm going to put that together as my brand, and because I love the flow. And then with dairy.
So you're kind of like Prince and Madonna and all those other people that just have kind of a beautiful name representing them. That's you too, right?
Well, thank you. I love the name. I love what it means. Mm-hmm. I love the power behind it. I do love the femininity, but because we all have feminine power.
Yeah.
And I also liked it with the goddess, with the plants as hair.
Yeah.
And then the divinely dairy free. And I just want to celebrate the divineness in all of us with my butter.
It's so pretty. Everybody's going to be looking for that package for sure.
Thank you.
So the main way people are going to be able to buy it is at the farmer's market this summer. And the second question is, can they buy it direct on your website?
Yes, they can. Okay. I ship with dry ice. And then Market of Choice has been waiting for the butter. So
patiently waiting.
Patiently waiting and been hugely supportive. And so I am planning on getting it in there ASAP.
So I notice on your website on the About Us that you talk about how your family is, you're from experienced cooks and bakers. And then you had a picture of a beautiful pie on your website too.
Thanks.
So is that part of you? Did you learn your baking and cooking from family?
I did. I mean, my biggest imprint as a child was making bread with my mom. Mm-hmm. And we used to let it rise and we punch it down. And it just was such an expression of love and joy. And there's five kids in our family and we're all foodies and cooks and bakers. And in fact, we still have a weekly family Zoom and predominantly what That's we talk about nice. Is food.
Like what did you cook making. Today?
Yeah.
Right.
Exactly.
My mom used to bake all our bread too. She had this funny old, she called it her bread machine, but it was basically like an aluminum pot with a hook and a handle and you would turn it. And I would come in the kitchen and she'd be in there turning that thing around, breaking the dough down. She thought that was the best thing. I don't know.
That's so awesome.
So, okay. Part of your work is for helping animals. So you donate part of your profits to helping animals. Can you tell us how you set that up? Other people might be interested in that idea.
Yeah. So I did that with my first company. I had a fruit juice sweetened cookie company straight out of college. And that was really exciting. And I did donate part of my profits. I would just find somebody that I wanted to donate to.
Okay. So it was any animal different.
Yeah. Any.
Okay.
And that's what I will continue to do until we get bigger and it gets more involved. But that is a very exciting part for me.
Okay. You know what? Let's take a quick break and we come back. We're going to talk about what is better about this butter. Oregon State University's College of Agricultural Sciences and the Food Innovation Center are proud sponsors of Meaningful Marketplace. With a mission to serve all Oregonians, we are committed to giving voice to those whose food and agricultural stories are not always heard. By providing access and opportunity for a more diverse and just food system, because food brings people together. All right, Ileana. Let us know what are the attributes that you feel are better about your butter that you've put together here for vegans.
Well, basically, you know, I had tried every plant-based butter on the market when I decided to do this, and because I love cooking and baking vegan recipes. But what was out there was pretty limited. So, I mean, I just wasn't completely satisfied with the taste and texture. Mm-hmm. So that's why I sought out to do it and fix those things.
Yeah.
So with my butter, I mean, in addition to all of the environmental health and animal kindness, the butter just tastes incredible.
It does. I've had it.
Thank you. Thanks.
I bet it's really good on popcorn.
It's so good. I mean, I'm so addicted to it myself, and my family and my friends. But I mean, people were so funny. They're just like, I just want to like roll in the wrapper. I just want to lick that wrapper.
Oh my gosh, they want to wear it as a dress or whatever.
Exactly.
So it's smoother. You said
it's velvety smooth. It's so creamy.
It's soft.
It's not. It's just right. It's just this velvety, creamy, sweet cream butter. It has 10 calories less than regular butter. It has less fat. There's zero.
No cholesterol, right?
Yeah, zero cholesterol.
I'll use a little zero cholesterol.
Yeah, it's it has lower sodium and it's baked.
It's lactose free.
Oh, yes, of course. Lactose free. It doesn't have any highly processed ingredients. Most of the ingredients are organic.
You think it's more sustainable?
Absolutely more sustainable. It really, I mean, that was a huge thing for me, for it not to have any palm oil in it.
Okay. So is
that
coconut?
A big deal. I use coconut oil and olive oil.
Oh, olive oil. That's always good.
Yeah. I have apple cider vinegar, nutritional yeast, turmeric, gosh, so many good things in it. It's really good for you.
That's cool. And you have it in recyclable tubs?
I do.
How did you find a recyclable tub?
I love that question. So I knew on the second go around that I needed a co-packer eventually. And I had learned enough that I wanted to make sure whatever packaging I was using would transfer easily to the co-packer. So I got their suppliers, who supplies to you, so I know it will work with your machines. So Airlite Plastics has number 5 plastic, which is recyclable.
Okay.
And, you know, I wish I didn't have to use plastic at all, but since it's
least you can recycle it.
Yeah, I can recycle it. And
people can reuse it too, because the container's so pretty.
It's a great container.
They can put their lunch in it or leftovers or whatever.
Absolutely. Yeah. Yeah. So
that's cool. But you're going to have it in the tub, and then you're going to have it in sticks?
I am. I mean, primarily the tubs at first till I get to the co-packers, and then they can pump out those sticks. But I will offer sticks. They're just going to be a little bit more expensive because they're a lot more time consuming.
So are you going to be making this in a shared use kitchen?
Yes, I have. I'm so lucky. My friend has a fabulous kitchen, and she has a fabulous product herself.
What's her product?
Ghetto.
Oh, you're friends with Lindsay?
Yes. I've known Lindsay for a really long time.
Live in Hood River?
I do.
I didn't know that.
Yes. And I used to teach her beautiful child, Trudy, piano.
You're a musician too?
I did. I taught piano for 10 years. And so that's how I met Lindsay. So we are old friends, and she
does have a beautiful kitchen. I recently was scoping out her. She's gotten a lot of good press, and she went to the fancy food show with us in Vegas.
I know. I wanted to go so badly,
but you're going to go. I want to ask you about that next. You're going to go with us.
I am. I'm going to the next one. My packaging wasn't ready yet. I don't know if I'm going to be ready for New York, because that's right around the corner, but I think I'm going to wait and go to Vegas and have my
Vegas
in market of choice and have it selling and be a little bit further along.
Okay. That sounds fine to me. Las Vegas is a really great place for the fancy food show too.
Yay. I can't wait.
Yeah. So you're going to make it there in Hood River, and you have a kitchen. That's half the battle, right?
That was a huge battle. When I first started, Lindsay had built a kitchen off of her house, a small one. And so I started there with her, and I'm lucky enough to be able to move over with her. She's invited me into her new facility.
That's great. Congratulations. Mm-hmm. So tell us. One of the things we like to ask, what are some of the biggest challenges you've had getting ready for your product to be on the market? What have you had to overcome?
I would say that the biggest challenge was the shelf life, of course.
The shelf life. Mm-hmm.
And you guys solved that problem with flying colors. Not only that, you also, most plant-based butters, they melt at room temperature. So mm-hmm. a lot of people are like, I just like to leave my butter out on the counter and just use it all day long. And so my butter now does not melt at room temperature. See,
what?
Leave it out.
That's what food science does.
Right? Yeah. Isn't that amazing?
Food science.
Hitting
it out of the park.
Yeah. For restaurants now and special events, parties, just makes it so much better.
Have you talked to Have you talked to Lindsay about putting your butter in one of her cakes? Because she uses real butter. Not to break the news to you here, but
yes, she down the line.
She got right a whole
she's
line.
She's pretty busy.
she's too doing? Busy to have
right
it
now.
Again.
She's pretty busy.
She's going all cow right now.
Yeah,
that's okay.
I never judge people. They're doing.
You don't judge by the cow.
It's a personal journey. Honestly.
Okay. So having an alternative dairy butter is a kind of a lifestyle decision. Can you talk to us a little bit more about how you ended up being, are you vegan?
I'm pescatarian.
You're pescatarian. So what was your path to get to that? There's a lot of about it.
Yeah, it was a very interesting journey. I grew up in Pacific Palisades, went to the market, and everything was wrapped in plastic, right? Ready to go.
Yeah,
I'd never seen, I don't even think I'd ever seen a chicken.
Is that like the LA area? Right.
Yes.
So my husband was there from there too. And he was like, he came to Oregon. He's like, we were driving down a country road and this bird flew out and he's like, is that a wild turkey? I'm like, honey, that is a pheasant. I've never seen one of those. Oh my gosh. He was so excited.
Yeah. Yeah. And
Giant rats. That's all he saw in LA. That's what he came. I don't know if it's true. He could have been exaggerating, but
that's so funny.
It's good to get out of LA once in a while, I think.
Yeah. I had moved to Sonoma County and I had just gotten divorced. So I was living on a farm by myself, this tiny little farm. And there were these scrawny chickens in the yard running around and there were cows, neighborhood cows. And I used to, I was very much into classical music. So I would bring my boombox out onto the porch with my coffee every morning and play Bach. And this cow that I named Sunshine loved the music so much.
And
she would start bucking and she'd come in and we became really good friends. And then I fed the chickens and got them the hay they needed and they got fat and started laying eggs. And I just was in love. And one day Sunshine wasn't there. And that's when I started to learn about dairy factory farming and all of it. And my whole world changed at that point. That's what inspired me was that.
They took your sunshine away.
They did. It was devastating.
Take my sunshine away.
So yeah, and then we ended up moving, go much later in the future, had a new husband and child, a little 6-week-year-old child. And I did not want to be in the city anymore at that point. I was ready to go. My brother was already here in Hood River in a log cabin in the woods. And I knew that's where I wanted to be.
So you visited him and you're like, I love it here.
Exactly.
The big trees, the smell of the pine.
Oh, it was
the dewy grass.
It was wonderful. We originally were we rented this huge farm. It was 200 acres.
And that's huge.
It was only $1,000 a month or something. I mean,
because nobody wanted to take care of it. They were like, here, take it for $1,000 a month. Did it have trees on it or something?
They did everything. They had 11 buffalo and horses. And our son now is 2. And he just would look out and there would be like a herd of wild elk in our front yard or wild turkeys. And it was paradise. I loved it. That was out in Trout Lake. But then when I started teaching piano, we moved into town here.
So are you a classical pianist?
I would say I was. I don't, I'm a little rusty now, but I do still love it. I'm very passionate about it.
You have a piano, I'm sure.
Yes.
I have a piano too. I had took piano lessons from when I was 10 all the way through high school, but I don't play my piano now. I don't know why. I'm trying to think of why I don't play it, but.
Did you like to play, what type of music did you like to play?
Oh, I was classically trained, you know. I grew up in the Midwest, so we had the piano, Mrs. Markley, 2 blocks down the street every whatever, once a week I'd walk down there and go through all my scales and stuff.
That's so nice. Well, we have to play something together. We could each practice it and then play it for each other.
That would be fun. And then from there, I learned to play the clarinet. Do you play other instruments?
I do. I play the guitar and I love to write songs and...
You're a Renaissance woman.
I love all the arts.
Creating everything. I know I actually have my degree in art in ceramics and watercolor, and I had a minor in food science. So that's why I work on the creative side of food product development, because to me, food is like colors and flavors, and you want them all to match up so that everyone works together and comes out into a beautiful food product. I guess
exactly.
That's how I think of it. Yeah.
It's so artistic. It's so creative. It's such a great immediate way to spread love and people. I mean, let's face it, our lives revolve around food.
Yeah, food brings people together.
It really does. And it's also really important for the planet to get it right.
Yeah, I like it because it's liquid, it's solid, it can be crunchy. I mean, there's so many textures and colors and flavors. It's crazy.
It is. The colors are so pretty.
Yeah. So I want to ask you, now that you've kind of got your butter figured out, what is going to be your next product? Do you have any ideas that you'd like to share?
Oh, yes, I do. So okay. Many ideas.
What are some of your next ideas?
Well, I want to get into some, I mean, not necessarily, I have food ideas. I do have a sugar-free protein bar that mm-hmm. is so good that I love. So I'd like to work on that some more, but that is available. And, but I also have this, it's called Wrinkle Free. It's this little pillow thing that I created, and I want it to be all plant-based, and everybody in my family uses one.
It's for sleeping?
It's for sleeping. I have that.
Oh, I totally need that. Does it keep your face from being wrinkly?
It keeps your face, yes.
I've been really getting so wrinkly lately.
I'll
say one of the outcomes from COVID for me was like, one, I gained weight, but as I try and lose weight, I'm like, I'm going to have so many wrinkles.
Oh, your face looks gorgeous. but I have that, and then I want to design a clothing line made out of bamboo, and that's lint-free because I'm so fussy about lint.
My dress I have is half linen, half bamboo.
Oh, nice.
Yeah.
And you know, when you're cooking, you're entertaining, you never have time to put yourself together, right?
Right. You want something easy.
Yeah. If you had this awesome, cute outfit, like let's say you run out of an ingredient, you already have it on, you can run to the store, and then you can just have your party and you're already dressed. And so I'm super excited. I've already been designing some outfits and I want them to be just really bright and happy.
Casual wear that have the same kind of multi-purpose as your butter.
Exactly. And when I go to work, I roll myself so many times because people would be surprised how much lint is on your clothes, even if you've just washed them.
I know. And we have cats with white hair at my house. I'm like, every morning I have to look at my clothes. And sometimes when I come to work, I grab the roll of tape and I'm like trying to get that cat hair off of me. I love those cats.
Yeah, I know. I do too. The other thing I wanted to mention though, is we do have a cookbook already lined up. Yeah. And I mean, cause everybody in my immediate family cooks as well.
So it's a family affair.
My husband cooks a lot and my
That's
son
cool.
cooks a lot and we have just the best recipes. And so we thought of this great cookbook that nobody's ever done before called The Right Amount. We want to call it The Right Amount. And we want it to be like, I don't know if you do crossword puzzles, but you know how that you can get the answers elsewhere. So what we'd like to do is just have some photos, but not the exact recipe, just the list of ingredients. And so people can build more confidence in their own choices and what they're, the amounts that they're putting in. And then if they really need help, they can flip the book upside down and look in the back and get the answers.
Oh, that's so cute.
Just thought
I want your cookbook.
Because there's two types of cooks, right? There's one that follows that recipe to a T.
Oh, not me.
Right? Or they're those ones that just instinctively, and that's what I want to build, is that instinctive cooking.
Yeah, that's the gift right there. I would say there's a lot of people that can just kind of cook that way. But when you want to do like a cake or something like that, it's a little more complicated. You have to really kind of follow the recipe, in my opinion.
Yes.
But for savory dishes and things that you cook for dinner, yeah, I'm totally freehand too.
Yeah. Once the butter gets going, then the logical next choice would be to do some great savory sauces.
Yeah.
Because it'll be a close, it'll be a match.
Right? Nice tie-in.
For that, a nice tie-in. But the first thing we're going to do is more flavors with the butter.
Maybe we could do like some seasoning packets. So you just have stuff with a longer shelf life. You can just melt the butter and pour the seasoning packets in there.
That's a great idea. That's a really good idea.
And then you could have it tie in with your cookbook.
Yeah, I like that idea.
Just something to think about.
I think that's a great idea, Sarah.
So do you have some last words of wisdom and advice that you'd like to give our fellow food entrepreneurs out there?
Yes, I would say that the biggest thing you can do is just work on your mindset. It's all about your mindset. And if you're in a calm, beautiful space, everything's going to go well for you. But if you're stressing out over little details, that's not going to do any service for yourself, and just it's not going to work. So I would say mindset is the biggest goal. And then other than that, reach out to people, get help, pick up the phone, you know, go get out there and talk to people. They want to help you. They want to help
you. Advice.
And especially if you're new, because we've all been there.
And so your friends and family were your taste testers, right? They tasted your products.
I drove everybody crazy. They still love me. I thank God.
Now they just want to buy it. They want to get it in the container and sell it.
Yes.
Well, it's time for us to wrap up. Any other last thoughts you wanted to share? Or are we good?
I just want to thank you again so much for having me. And I want to thank OSU Innovation Center again for helping me make my dreams come true, because you definitely have.
Thanks, Ileana. That's very nice. Thank you. So we're out of time. Let's wrap it up. We want to thank you for sharing your story with us today and the story of your company. And we can't wait to see your product in all the grocery store shelves. We record Masoni and Marshall every week. You can tune in to your favorite podcast platform. Thank you to our audio engineer, Lon, our production assistant, Chelsea. And if you want to be a guest on our show, you can submit that idea to startupradio.com. Or contact us through Instagram at Masoni and Marshall. Until next week, bye for now.
You're listening to the Startup Radio Network. Listen, learn, launch. 10% of our gross revenue goes directly to women entrepreneurs in developing countries around the world through Kiva's microfinance program.